Welcome to Learning to Glow, a show about wellness, skin health, and self-development. I'm your host, Jess. I'm a mom, entrepreneur, and skincare expert. I'm so excited to share tips on how to achieve healthy skin and bring amazing guests in the field of health, fitness, aging gracefully, and personal growth. Let's explore all different ways we can take care of ourselves as women, both inside and out, to truly shine. So let's get glowing. Hi, and thank you for being here this week on Learning to Glow podcast. I am your host, Jess, and I have a terrific episode for you today. We have Anna Prez, for short. She's a feisty and hilarious millennial who's taken the mental health social media world by storm. With her not-so-serious tone, Anna has become a breath of fresh air in a world weighed down by the pressure we all feel. This sweet-toned Midwesterner tackles the fear of the unknown, dismantles the myth of hustle culture, and fearlessly addresses issues like body image, which we talked about today on this episode. Her realistic, lighthearted take on everything and everyday life prove that sometimes laughter really is the best medicine. We had such a wonderful conversation. We talked about how Anna literally blew up on social media by sharing her authentic self with everyone online, and it just resonated with so many of us. Her message and permission to take breaks and how rest is productive were messages she needed to hear herself. As she continued to share online, she was able to grow in her own life as she helped others do the same. We also talk about body acceptance and Anna's background dealing with eating disorders. I really want to thank her for sharing all of this with us. I know this episode is going to help someone. She's also going on tour in November, so make sure you check out my show notes with her website. All the details are on there along with the show dates, and her social media links will also be in the show notes. Thank you, Anna, and break a leg on your tour. Here's our conversation. It's a good one. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Learning to Glow podcast. I am your host, Jess, and today we have Anna with us. Welcome.
Hi.
So happy to see you. Thanks so much for being here. I like to just start all my episodes with if you could introduce yourself and tell us what you do, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. My name is Anna Prez, Przbylski for long. It's just a little bit of a mouthful.
I have one of those too.
Yeah, I am a digital content creator in the mental health / comedy space. I'm also touring, so I'm doing a little bit of public speaking. I recently wrote a book. I work full time. I'm an event planner by day, so I got kind of a lot going on. Yeah,
you have just a little bit of things under your belt right now. So yeah. How exciting about the touring.
I know. I'm so excited.
It's coming up in November, right?
Yeah. It starts November 8th. So right around the corner.
Oh my gosh. So exciting. So a lot of people listening to this have seen your videos. You've been viral many, many times.
Yeah.
And you know, what people really love about you, and I feel like what you do so well is helping people understand that you're not alone in this feeling of overwhelm or the fact that life is just seeming to be very hard.
Yeah.
And
yes, that's
But also, like, it's what helps with that, you know, laughter.
Yeah. And I think for sure, like, one of my main goals is always to be really digestible. Like, I try to make it very non-clinical, you know, even though the things that I'm talking about in the subjects I'm touching on, you know, like depression and anxiety and ADHD and all of these things that I struggle with, I don't use any of those words, you know. I like to say that people hate advice, because I know that I hate advice, right? Like, I hate when someone's like, this is what you need to do. But people don't realize that you're sort of infiltrating their inner voice when you say things really loud and really silly. But at the same time, like, I've created all these very strange little isms, you know, and they're helping me, you know, that the more that I say these things, and the more I record these videos, and the more I talk about it, the more, like, me too. I am the voice in my head. Like, and I think that's insane. Like, the fact that I've overridden, you know, society and my parents and all of those other voices that have always been in my head, and I've become my own voice in my head, as well as other people's. I think that's pretty cool.
It's so cool. It's so awesome. And I feel like that's something, I mean, I was just talking about this on another podcast about those voices that you're talking about that we are listening to all day long. And if it's on a negative loop, like how that can just tail dive your day. Yeah. And in your mood and just how everything is flowing.
I was literally just buying sweatpants because I, you know, but I wanted like a cute matching set or whatever. And like, it's so hard. Even I'm at Dick's Sporting Goods and I'm so worried that like other people are looking at me and being like, of course she's buying sweatpants. Like, look at her. She's a mess. And it's like, who, what? Why? I don't care. Like, I'm gonna be comfy and cozy, and like, I have to remind myself all the time, like, you know, it's so constant and it's so lifelong, and it's this like always having to override that pre-programmed fear of everything.
Yeah, I know, especially when it's been, I mean, I think you're at a good stage, which is going, oh shit, like, that's not true. Yeah. Whereas a lot of people, and probably for you, even for a long time, you're like, oh yeah, like this is just a fact that I'm hearing in my head, when it's mm-hmm. not at all. And when you don't like confront it, it will run the show 100%. Yep. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, I wanted to leave the store. Like that anxiety in public of just like being perceived is, I forget about it because I am, so much of my life is spent online and so much of my life is spent in communities where I've chosen to be. And that's a huge thing for me that I try to, you know, convince other people, like, if you're trying to fit in somewhere, that's not your place. Like, you shouldn't have to try to fit in. And I'm so good at that in the spaces I choose. But like, when I go to a grocery store, it all sort of falls away. Like, I'm like, oh no, I didn't choose this space. Like, I have to be here because I have to get groceries. But like, none of these people, you know, I don't know that they like me, and I don't know that this is a place I'm welcome. So it's so tough to like balance real life and creating spaces where you're comfortable.
So how did you start this? Because you came online and you decided to start sharing, but what happened before that? Like, what made you want to start doing that?
I mean, I'm a human being, you know, there is a lot of instant gratification in the internet. And I think especially during the pandemic, you know, it was probably the worst my depression's ever been. And that instant serotonin from the internet, even if it's 5 people, 10 people, and then 100 people, and then 1,000 people, you know, just sort of reacting to you being yourself was really reassuring. And then at some point, obviously, it does turn into like, oh my God, I'm making a difference. And, you know, how cool is that? And the other thing was, the more I got online and the more I talked about what was going on in my own life, and I needed more content. So for me, I kind of had to continue learning and growing and moving forward. And at some point, it was like, oh my God, I'm changing my own life. Like, which is incredible. And then at the same time, people are like, you're changing my life. And that's addicting too, you know?
But, oh, for sure.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, it's like, I would love it if it was like, I just wanted to change the world. And it's not that I don't. It's that it's just sort of happening. And I can't believe that every day. Like, I still feel like such an imposter on the internet. And I mean, I've been doing this for 3 years and I still don't. I mean, I still feel like an imposter in my day job, and I've been there 12 years because, again, there's just these voices, you know, like, how could you possibly ever be good enough for anything? Like, you have to keep striving. And it's like, no, I'm okay right where I am. Sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, I know. And I think that's another thing that people, why you have exploded online is because you are able to share that. Be vulnerable, and everyone feels that, and so that's why you have such a connection, and people are just—it's so relatable. Oh, you know, you see one of your videos, and you're like, "Yes," or it puts a smile on your face, and you're like, "Oh, I'm cute," or "I'm doing good." So that's like a boost for us too.
Yeah, I think a lot for me too. People are like, "Where do you come up with this stuff?" And I'm like, "Most of it is stuff that I want to hear." You know, I never really thought of it as reparenting myself until I did, where I was like, you know what? It's true. At some point, I just had to realize that, like, I could do things for me. I could be the person who was right in my life. Which, we don't even think about that. Like, I could be the person who's right about me. I could be the person who makes the correct decisions for me. And I think I always just thought other people knew better than me. And so it's kind of this, like, if I want to hear that, why wouldn't everybody else want to hear that? And I'm going to say it to myself, too.
Absolutely. And I think that gives other people permission to be able to start thinking in those terms, because it is so true. And, you know, one of the things that you talk about is body acceptance. And I want to talk about that a little bit, because that is something that so many, especially women, but all people deal with. And I have a background in eating disorders and body dysmorphia and all of the things. And it's hard to go from that to, I love my body. My body's perfect. It's like, there's a gap.
Yeah. I don't think, you know, I always say that, like, I'm not, not so much body positivity as it is body acceptance. Like, this is my body. This is the body that I am appearing in. And I have to be okay with that. Like, I'm not going to not live my life because I'm afraid to, like, show my body. I'm not going to stop showing up because I'm afraid to show my body. You know, I think working on loving it is going to be a forever type thing. Day constant. Like, I just think it's one of the hardest ones. And I also think it's the thing I touch on the least online, because it's probably the thing I still struggle with the most. And my background is also eating disorders. I was in inpatient treatment when I was 19 for anorexia and bulimia. And yeah, so bodies are tough. Bodies are really hard. I think a lot of times I don't know if this isn't great. I don't look, you know, there's a lot of, like, getting dressed without looking. And I always think it's very strange. I obviously see my content constantly. Like, I see myself online in motion. But if I see a photo of myself, I can't take it. And I don't know where that, like, I obviously see myself in motion every day. But there's this, like, very strange idea about a still photo that freaks me out. Or, you know, just seeing myself standing there in front of a mirror. I don't know how you get rid of that. I mean, I've been working on it for 20 years, so I'm trying.
Yeah. I mean, and there's always going to be triggers and things that we cope with less well than other things, for sure. So after you were in treatment, what happened next?
Not much. I just kind of went back to my life, and I still really, I wasn't as sick. I think looking back, you know, like, it was a great improvement and I was doing much better. But I think it really took until my 30s for me to really be like, stop. Like, we can't keep doing this. Like, all of the evidence is here that every time you change your body to be the size you think is the right size, your life doesn't improve. I have years and years and years and years of proof that this doesn't work. Like, my depression does not go away, and my struggling to focus does not go away, and my life doesn't magically become wonderful, and I don't have every friend on earth. And because I finally fit in the pants that I'm like, those are the pants. But you still have that programmed in your brain. Like, once I look this way, everything will be fixed. And I know that's not true, but I can still fall into that so easily. And I fall into it a lot. It's probably my number one struggle in the world, because I take care of my depression and I have my psychiatrist and I have my therapist and I take care of all these other things. But I think such a number was done on us in our lives. And in, even now, you know, online, there's just so much weight loss. And now with Ozempic, like, it's just like this massive conversation that never ends.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, when is it going to stop being such a focus? You know, it's never. Yeah. And like, did you grow up in a way that was ever like a focus in your house? Or was it kind of just like,
it's like the only focus in my house.
Okay.
Everyone in my family is like 5'8", tiny, mini people, except for me, right? And so it has always just been this thing. And then the other thing is, my parents are world-class athletes. They were competitive in the Ironman World Championships in the 80s, then went on to be like marathoners at all of the world-class marathons and placing well and, you know, being very impressive, which is really hard to have impressive parents. And then my brother went on to run, and I also went on to run in high school and college. And so, yeah, every space I had ever been in up until I was 19 years old was a space where your body was really important. So, yeah.
And I can imagine, I mean, I did a little bit of track in high school, and that's where I learned a lot about eating disorders, actually. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine that was also a space where you, I don't know, I mean, I'm assuming, but it was for me.
No, it's very, I mean, it's so prevalent. And that's kind of part of the problem, too, is when people are like, how come nobody noticed you were sick? Like, you were anorexic for 7 years and nobody said anything. And I was like, well, I'm a competitive runner. I'm running an hour a day, 2 hours a day. Then I went to college. Your whole team has fairly disordered eating, except for a tiny handful of them, you know, because everybody is trying to stay competitive. And, you know, runners are, they don't have to be small. We know that now. There's so many more competitive runners, you know, like showing their size. And even me now, you know, like I ran my first 50-mile race a couple of years ago. And, you know, I don't look the part, like, just so stupid, because size is not an indicator of health. And I know all these things, but they're so hard to know. You know, even I was running a 50K once, and I showed up to the starting line and someone goes, oh, who are you here to spectate? Because she couldn't possibly participate. And it's just like, why are we like this? Why is the world like this? Like, there's all the proof in the world, and I have it. I have firsthand proof, like, that my body's the least interesting thing about me, because I am the largest I've ever been, and I have the most support from the world I've ever had, you know? And all of this proof, like, that size is not an indicator of my health, because I'm perfectly healthy, you know, even if I wear a 2X, and all of these things, and still, it's like, well, maybe I should change. I don't... It's like, it's the hardest voice to shut up.
Well, it's like you said, there's so much proof, and yet the acceptance from us is hard. And, you know, I had an eating disorder dietitian on, and she did such a beautiful job of explaining our diet culture and, like, the, you know, our diet culture, and basically, like, we're all in it. Like, no matter the way that we grew up, and, you know, you have parents who are very high level athletes, but we're all in it. And, you know, I think there are certain different factors that can lead to what your outcome is as a person, mm-hmm. and what you find value in. But yeah, that people value a certain look. And then that's what we internalize all of that.
Yeah. And yeah, but I still have all of the proof in the world. It has nothing to do with my value. And I'm still like, but do you think they'd like me more? If, you know, like, but do you think they'd like me more or what? Because
that's so tough.
When I first started my wellness journey, I had already been in the skincare industry for years, working on client skin and as an educator for multiple skincare brands. When I learned about how the toxins in our personal care and beauty products could have a negative impact on our health, I knew I needed to make a change. I was used to the result-driven products that I was working with, and I was not happy with the natural products on the market at that time. Although they were safer and cleaner, they did not meet my expectations for results. I created Simply Just Skincare to deliver the results my clients demanded from their products while using natural, toxin-free ingredients. You can check out my clients' results and reviews on my website, simplyjustskincare.com. In 30 days, my clients have reported more hydrated skin, less appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and more of an overall glow. Our top sellers include our repair toner, our hydrating undo serum with hyaluronic acid, and more. I am offering my listeners 20% off their first order with code PODCAST. Check it out in the link in my show notes to get glowing today.
So, well, let's talk more about your, I don't know if you consider yourself this, but, you know, being an advocate for the mental health area.
Yeah.
What are some of your community's feedback on your videos? And I'm sure, like you were saying, you're helping other people and they are really connecting to your videos and in the way that you deliver, because like you said, no one wants to be like, well, a lot of people, they're not ready to hear like, okay, this is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. These are your five tips for blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that can just, they're like, no, I'm not listening to that.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're really responding to just that connection and the way that you share it. So what is some of the feedback that they give you?
I think like the majority of the feedback that I, you know, that resonates the most is like, you are erasing my guilt. Like today I laid on the couch and took a day off and like I thought of you and I knew it was okay. And it's like, I want to give the permission. I want to give the world permission to slow down, because I don't feel like anybody's, you know, people aren't out there like, slow down, do less. And I want to be that person, because I know, like, I lived a lifetime going 1,000 miles an hour and it did me no favors. I get more done and I'm more productive now because I rest constantly and I reset constantly, and I step away from things instead of powering through them. And all of these things have made me a much more productive human. And I think it's so tough because, you know, there's still so much negative feedback. People are like, this isn't what depression looks like. You're just lazy. You're like, that's not true. But, you know, thanks for putting this comment here, because it's a great teaching moment for everybody. Like, or when they're like, why don't you just like do some exercise? Because you can't be in a bad mood when you do cardio. And I was like, you can be in a bad mood and do a lot of cardio. I can promise you.
Yeah, you're like, I've lived that.
I'm like, I know. But yeah, I think it's at like, I remembered to fuel my body today because you reminded me that something is better than nothing, you know, with food. It's like sometimes I don't want to eat because all I have is something that I deem bad and there's no such thing. But it's like something's better than nothing. Like eating a donut is better than eating no breakfast. Like these are things, you know, just little things that I'm putting out there every day, and people are like, I remembered that and I ate something. And you're like, yeah.
That's so great. I mean, you're right. We're so bombarded with the hustle, they call it the hustle culture. Mm-hmm. And it's like everybody's telling us more to do and more to add, and that we should be doing it starting earlier. And like, and yeah, the message of take a break is mm-hmm. not really there. And I'm so guilty of this. And I've talked about this before, but I do have a hard time taking that rest. And because that, like exactly what that comment was of being lazy, yeah, always comes up for me. So
yeah, laziness doesn't exist. That's just resting.
It's so crazy, especially when, like, you know, you and I, we're very busy and we do a yeah. lot of things. Of course we're not lazy, but that's like another one of those deeply ingrained yeah, messages sure. that we have. And it's hard to break through that.
Yeah. I think it's really helpful though, like when I teach myself all these little isms, and I'm finally in the place where, like, when somebody else makes a comment, like in my office or something, and I'm like, that's not appropriate. You know, like you can't talk about people's bodies. They don't mean anything. You know, these little things. I was just thinking about when we were saying, like, when I say I walk away, like when I'm stressed, and I know that we're not dogs, but when you're training your dog, and if they get very confused and frustrated, you're supposed to reset them by just throwing a treat, and then they go get it and they like take a breather and then come back to it and try again. Like, because they're not going to learn it when they're stressed and frazzled and overwhelmed and there's a lot going on and they can't get it right. And it's just like me. Like, I need a reset too. Like, somebody throw a treat across the room, I need to walk away. I need to like cool off, get my brain straight. Like, we just don't think of that. Like, we always power through, suck it
power
up.
Through.
It's like, yeah. Oh my gosh, why? Why though?
Yeah, and if that would be helpful, that would be one thing, but it's not. Yeah. And it's right. That the correct
all the proof
way?
We have so much proof that it's not helpful.
It's so true. And I think, you know, especially when you think of like, I think that's another thing about your message. It's somebody else, like your community member said, of you, I got permission from you in a way from yeah. a video to our, yeah, something, these little things will stick with people, you know, and it's same with me. Like I'll hear yeah. something and I'm like, oh, that little message mm-hmm. stuck with me. And it'll come up when I'm like on a crossroads of like, I could do this or I could do that. But then like, I heard this one thing and it,
and I feel okay about it. And I feel like sometimes it's like we do need permission from someone else because we're too wrapped up in our own thoughts.
This is a comment I got from somebody once, and it was on a video where I said, sometimes we don't know what comes next. And it's because we might be looking the wrong way. We're so programmed to look forward and up. Now it's like, if that doesn't feel right, have you ever considered like going backwards, like doing less, stepping back? And, you know, when I talked about that, somebody was like, you just answered a huge question for me. Like, I got offered this huge promotion with way more work and, you know, more money, but I don't really want more work and more responsibility. And you just gave me the permission to say no, because they were so programmed to think, well, I have to want this promotion. I have to want more responsibility and to move up. And it's like, you don't have to. Like, if you are okay and you are content and your life is going to be easier, like staying where you are or taking a step back. You know, there's so many people I come across now in my life, you know, they've left the corporate world and they're like, I work at Starbucks. It's just like less consequential. Like, I was killing myself. I was going to die at 45 from a heart attack because, you know, I'm working on Wall Street. I'm 24 years old. Like, there's just so much pressure in the world to move forward and move up. And that's amazing. But I think there's just, you could move forward and move up in a different way, in a way that makes you happier, in a way that makes you feel more fulfilled and less exhausted.
Yeah. And also that's coming from you and not what you think you should do or what you feel like everyone wants you to do, or that the people in society do.
Yeah, it's like I spent my whole life doing what I thought I was supposed to do. And then one day you're like, oh, well, I did it all. Okay, nothing cool happened. Like, my life wasn't fixed. I wasn't like, it's the same as the body thing. It's like, I got the job and I got the car and I got the house. And guess what? I'm still miserable. So I could solidly say it wasn't that. Like, that did not fix my brain.
Yeah, you're still stuck with that.
Yeah, you're and, like, oh, damn it. Like, you know, I really thought that would do it. And it turns out it didn't.
Oh, yeah, it's so true. And it's so true with the, that's such a good point with our bodies. Like, of, you know, everybody's on this never ending quest of getting to a ideal body weight. And I'm everybody, by the way, like, it's been me too. But also, like, what happens when you get there? You're still you. And that, you know, and I've heard people talk about hating your body to a new body just doesn't work. And having that, like, care for yourself and just being okay with where you're at, even if sometimes you can't be like, I love, like we said, like, it might not be, I love my body. That's okay. But like, I have a body, like you said, like,
this, I have a body. This is it.
Let's just, this is my fact. This is my truth. And taking away some of the hate, you know, like, that's the first step, I feel like.
Yeah. Yes. Getting rid of the hate is like a great goal. Like, I don't hate it. I'm not sure how I feel about it, but like, I don't go to bed at night and cry because, like, it's just not. It's just like, well, it is what it is, you know?
It is. And I think that's, it's like what you said earlier is so true for me too, which is, I think this will be definitely a lifelong process. And especially as I get older, I think, wow, like, I'm so much better than I used to be. I mean, obviously I was in high school when all this started and I'm 46 now. So by the time, you know, I always feel like, wow, at this age and as a mom, like, do I really want to waste or expend any more energy on this silly, unimportant thing?
Yeah. It's like, you can't get back all, I can't get back all of the years that I wasted spending 24 hours a day worrying about it, which is such a bummer. Like, what could I have been doing? I don't know. I'll never know. But again, just not do that again, you know, as well, try not to do it again.
Yes, I know. And when we do, we can remind ourselves, because
a lot of times,
know,
it's like already happened and I'm like, oh no, I missed every sign that, like, I was just like spiraling out of control and everything was going terrible and you miss, and I'm like, whoops, whoops, backtrack.
Right. But that's like progress, right? Like, we're getting to that place where you're like, oh yeah, I see what I'm doing here. I'm not going to let myself get away with this anymore.
Yeah. Like, oh, every sign was there. And I just zoomed past them
Yeah. It's definitely, that's the first step. Like,
yeah,
catching ourselves and being more responsible about what we let just go wildly in our brains. So, well, I'm so excited for your tour. I want you to tell us a little bit more about it, and then we'll tell people where to follow you if they aren't already. And yeah. I'll make sure to link all of this in the show notes too.
Yeah, it's kind of like half a tour of my life, which is terrifying. That was kind of the feedback. I did a show in New York in May, and kind of the feedback was like, you need to like dig a little bit deeper. Like, that was great, and you gave us all your, you know, hit lines and whatever, but, you know, like, people want to meet you and people want to know you. And I was like, oh God. So I've worked really hard at writing and being descriptive and including like more anecdotes and more stories and kind of how I got to the messages that I share now versus just the messages that I share now, you know, and each one along the way that I learned and when it changed and where I am now with it. So it's kind of like that. And then the end is a lot of just, you know, motivational. And then we do questions, and so yeah, it's a how I got here. I always say it's how I got here, like me, and then how I got here, this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so exciting. So tell us where we can find out about more about this, the tour dates and all of the places.
Yes, my website is akprzy.com, and the tour link is right at the top. But yeah, I will be, the first town is Pottstown, and that is November 8th. And then Pittsburgh, Columbus, Arlington, Stamford, Connecticut, and then Chicago.
That is so exciting. Congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations on this tour. And thank you for being a voice for all of us and making us laugh. And I'm just really grateful that you were able to come and share a little bit today with us.
Thank you for having me on. I love doing podcasts because I never get to talk for very long. Because I'm always trying so hard to trim my videos to 30 seconds. So.
Yes. Well, you'll have to come back on. You'll have to come back and share your post-tour experience with
absolutely.
Us.
Oh, absolutely. That would be
I would
amazing.
Love to hear it. I would love it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Please subscribe and review so we can reach more people who want to learn to glow alongside us. See you next time.